I would invite you this morning to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter, the first chapter. It is always good to come together on the first day of the week and be reminded that we need to remember. To remember all of the things that we easily forget about how important even the power of worship and the effectiveness of worship is influenced by what we remember and our memory. And we've kind of emphasized that a little bit in our singing this morning. And I think we would all recognize it's been a very busy week and a very difficult week for a lot of people as we remember. It's remarkable to think that it's been 20 years since 9/11. And yet for many individuals, when we remember that day and that morning and the shocking images that came across eventually for all of us during that day as we looked back, it is an incredible tragedy. It's a tragedy that created a lot of pain for a lot of families and friends, and the suddenness of the event and the feeling of uncertainty and the fact that we were prone to be attacked, something that is far from our thinking. It's a day in which it lingers for many of us, even after 20 years, perhaps you found yourself recalling where you were, who you were with, who perhaps alerted you to what happened, and even your feelings that day. The tragedy, such a tragedy, sticks with us. And so we encourage, when we look back to that event, to never forget. Never forget. And what is it that we discovered? What is it that we learned? Well, for many, I heard someone say, and I think it's probably true for my generation, this is our Pearl Harbor. It's an event that many went through in the previous generation when they discovered, largely by radio, the attack on Pearl Harbor. It made you realize that, well, you knew you had an enemy, but you had no idea the enemy was so close and would bring the fight so sudden in such a tragic way. And for many individuals, what I really recall and what I think we emphasize the importance of never forgetting is our response to it. Our response to it was such to where, for all of a sudden, with all of our division and all of our differences, we all felt this pain. And what it did is it brought a sense to where what divided us, we set it aside and we became one. We had this sense of unity and harmony. We had this sense to where all became Americans. And a response was such to where many rolled up their sleeves and recognized that we need to join together and respond. I was impressed with some of the stories I saw related to individuals that said it was that day they decided, in them focusing on the tragedy and the days ahead, that they would serve in the military. And for now, many of them are officers because it's been 20 years. And they were willing to roll up their sleeves and fight for the freedom that for many of us had been taken for granted. We are a people that tend to forget. That's why the motto, I think, is pretty much there. Because look at where we are today. Where are we today in our unity as a nation? Where are we today in our look at the enemy as not even sure who it is? But we still think it's far away, while really we've become our own worst enemy. And where is the resolve? Where is the unity? Where is the harmony? It's a reminder that we really struggle to remember, and we forget. It's almost three decades since Jesus has died on the cross when Peter pens this second epistle to believers that are struggling. And for many of them, he points the way back to the cross, the incredible example of sacrifice and love of Jesus Christ. And for many that were his followers, it was the darkest day of their life at that time. It was a tragedy for an individual to be sentenced as a criminal and die on the cross in such an unfair and, and horrible way. It was a day in which, with humility, they began looking at themselves, especially after Jesus had raised from the grave and demonstrated His power over the grave and God's purpose, that the cross was part of His plan for all to come and actually receive freedom from their sins. And being convicted by the cross and remembering the cross, we humble ourselves even today and we recognize the importance of that precious blood that we've sung about. And with resolve, we leave the enemy and we fight the enemy. And we unite with God and His cause. And with all of our zeal, it's important to us to not only enjoy the freedoms that we have in Jesus Christ, but to share it with others. Peter, when he addresses this epistle, he says it's to those who obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. A faith that has value. Just like that blood has value. As believers, we understand that. We focus on that. We remember that. And we should never forget that. But notice he says, like precious faith. Here he describes a faith that we have in common, a mutual faith. It's a faith that Peter has, and now, because of the message of the gospel, other Jews have left the law and believe in that faith of the saving power of the blood. But not just Jews, but also Gentiles. And not only people of his time, but our generation today. That like precious faith. And I think he wants us, as we focus on the cross, to never forget the blessings that we have in Christ and what God has called us to do because of that. There are three things I want us to never forget this morning about the cross of Jesus Christ, about our faith. The first is that God has given Christians all things for godly living. Now, why is that important? Look at verse 3. Verse 2, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Now, when we think about what God has given us, this faith that we have, it leads us to understand that God has given us a knowledge of Him. And the benefit of that is, verse 2, grace and peace is multiplied to you. How? Through the knowledge that you have about God. The more knowledge you have about God, the more you understand what He did through Jesus Christ, the more you're going to experience His grace and peace. God gives us that. So it's important that we build that knowledge and never forget who God is in our life and what Jesus Christ coming during this life that Frank described for us means to us. Verse 3, it involves a divine power that's given to us. And in that divine power, he says, the purpose of it is for us to have life and godliness. Now, you can say that life is eternal life. That would be fair. But I think he's also suggesting that this divine power is to give us what we need in order to live a godly life. A reverence toward God. A response to God. To where we pursue the likeness and what God has called us to become through Jesus Christ. And he says, understanding that, it also comes through the knowledge of Him. And that we have been called by glory and virtue. This is God's purpose for us as believers, that we pursue this godly life. And He's given us a power. And in that power, we understand Paul talks about the gospel being the power of God that leads to salvation. When Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit coming after His departure, do you remember what His important role would be for the apostles? He would be a helper. He'll help you remember. He'll help you that you never forget. And part of that is to forget the message of the gospel. And he says, through this, we have exceeding great and precious promises. Promises. And if you have that knowledge of God in Christ, you know about those promises. If you have not quenched the Spirit and the Word of God is alive in your life, you know about those promises. And it helps you cling to those promises and give you purposes in life. But he talks about two things that God has given us through all of this that is a great benefit. One, that we might be partakers of a divine nature. We can be godly. We can be like God and pursue holiness. And the second is so that we can escape the corruption that is in the world. We can be delivered. We can be free from its power and its influence. You remember Paul talking to the Church of Christ in Ephesus, chapter 4, verse 22, talked about the importance of putting off the old life, the old man, and putting on the new man. Well, let's remind ourselves of what he said there in verse 22. You put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You've got that escape from the world and its corruption. So put it off. Don't stay in it. You should be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So he's saying you've escaped. Now put on that divine nature. You become a new creature. And this new life that we have, God created it. And what's the characteristic of this new life that God has created for us as believers to have? Righteousness and holiness. And so what Peter reminds them is never forget the life that God has called you to live. It is not to stay in your old sins. It's to put on this new life, become a new creation, and understand it's a life that God created. The world didn't define this life, though we're letting the world define it for us. We're letting false teaching in the church define it for us. We're letting Satan and his influence that comes into our lives on a regular basis redefine it for us. God has given us what we need to pursue a life of godliness. The second thing that we should never forget that Peter helps us with is to understand that God's people must make an effort to grow spiritually. That it's not just about escaping the world and its damning influence. It's not just about being a partaker of the divine nature that we have by abiding in Jesus Christ. But there is a real effort on our part to abound spiritually. He says this in verse 5. But also for this very reason. God has given us everything we need for godliness. For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now let's go ahead and cheat and look at verse 8 and recognize the reason that he's going to tell us we must make an effort to grow spiritually. He says, if these things, and he's fixing to give us some attributes to add to our faith, to supplement our faith. If these things are yours and they bound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's that phrase again, the knowledge. Now, it's a terrible thing in our life to convict ourselves. Not talking about anybody else criticizing us, but to convict ourselves that we are useless in what we think is important. We're hard on ourselves. Here, he's reminding us as a new creation that if we do not supplement our faith, if we do not add characteristics, if we don't abound and demonstrate fruitfulness, then we're useless. And what God has given us about the knowledge of Christ. We don't want that. So, if we need to remember the fact that we should be growing, it should be important. Look at that word diligence. We forget that the Christian life is a diligent life. Think about that. What does that really mean? Your favorite football team won yesterday. Are they going to take the week off? You going to celebrate? You going to be passive? Until the next game? No. We kind of understand they're going to be diligent. Because there are things that they can grow in. There are things they can improve on. There are things, there's opposition. And the opposition may come in. We understand that. Christian life is a diligent life. It's not a passive life. Teaching in the religious world for generations has emphasized faith and faith alone. But you get an idea that's not something that Peter's comfortable with. That's not something that any inspired writer in the New Testament was comfortable with. Because what he says here is we need to supplement our faith. That there are things to add to our faith. And he gives characteristics here that I would tell you that it's not a laundry list just for us to check out. It's just a reminder of important attributes that we have that demonstrate our precious faith in the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. We're going to grow our faith. This word add is a reminder to where we supply and we supply generously. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Characteristics that he said is what we supplement our faith with. So we can say we have faith, but here are characteristics and a sense of fruitfulness that the world can say, I see that. Now you look at those characteristics right now, and what do we need as believers? What do you need as believers? Is there an area, maybe more so than the other, that you could be more diligent in and useful? I'll tell you a couple of mine. Self-control. You know, this world right now is impacting our hearts to where there are things that we're blurting out about our opinions that we really wish we could take back. We're murmuring and complaining in areas and we walk away and just saying to ourselves, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe that that's in my heart. But right now there's a sense of what we're going through that really self-control is something I need diligence in. How about perseverance? That sense of endurance and hanging in there, do you need that? I think we all do. And it's interesting, sometimes we say, you know, love is defined different ways in the Bible. And there's different definitions of it. Well, Peter here helps us out because he gives us two of them. And we don't have to be confused. We need brotherly love. Boy, is that not being tested today? To love your fellow man? Do you love him if he has a mask or not a mask? And then he talks about divine love. That's again agape love. And he says these things should be in us. In Hebrews 6:11, the Hebrew writer talks about diligence. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently. Seek Him. Does that sound like passiveness? The sense of diligence, it's a demonstration of our full assurance of our hope. And that says everything about how the impact of God's precious promises impact our faith. To where we are diligent that we don't lose our confidence about our hope and about our faith. Our faith recognizes that God is. He is able. But He recognizes what's going on in our life, and He knows how we seek Him. What our motivation is. He knows why we're here this morning. He knows if we're here to give worship or if we're here to receive something. And He knows how we measure our experiences together. And He knows what we're going to do during the week. He knows our level of diligence. It's not like the people that we work for. We know how to get by them, right? He knows. And so God's people must make efforts to grow spiritually. And then He tells us why. And if there's any area of this that I think Peter's kind of had an idea of where he's headed and really he establishes the whole theme of the epistle, we should never forget to make our calling and election sure. And we know that. But in many ways, even when we read the Old Testament and Paul convicts us like he did the church at Corinth, that we tend to forget the lessons that are there of the people of old in their relationship with God are there for our benefit. And what did we learn about the people of old? They continue to forget God. God said, you're going to forget me. And they did. And there are times in which they repented and they claimed allegiance and obedience, and you're our God and we will live for you and we'll be faithful to your word and your commandments. And then what? They forgot. Paul says we're like that. It was given for our benefit. And so what Peter tells these believers and what is sobering to us, look at verse 9. He says, he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten. Has forgotten what? That he was cleansed from his old sins. We should never forget what Jesus and the impact of the cross was. Here he reminds us, if we're not growing spiritually, then we have a blind spot. And what we see is in front of us. And the world is all about putting something in front of us that makes us blind to our diligence to grow in Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? The world's all about that. And we develop blind spots. And we forget that we were cleansed from our old sins. Now, why is that important? Because we're supposed to stay out of sin. We put off that old man. And being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, by an obedient faith and baptism, we arise in newness of life. And this new life is what we should pursue with diligence. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Take it up a notch. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you'll never stumble. You'll never fall. You'll never fail. The calling and election is what God has done for us by focusing on the cross and by us remembering His body and the blood and the sacrifice and the cleansing of our sins. Jesus paid our debt. He did it all. And so we remind ourselves, and that calling is for all those to look at the cross and respond to the love of God. And this election that God purposed before the foundation of the world is to enable all of those that respond to this gospel to receive the power that God provides through His Word and that message and experience salvation. But we've got to grow. We've got to grow in this new life. And as we grow in this new life, the ultimate objective in verse 11 is for us to receive a supply abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What is it we would say? I'm in the kingdom now. Just like those that responded to the gospel on the day of Pentecost, the Lord added to the church daily. We're in the kingdom of Christ. But here He's talking about the eternal kingdom. He's talking about heaven. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 in our study on Wednesday nights. Verse 12, Paul said, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. That's the election. That's the calling. That's what the life that God is calling us to live as believers. And here his example is love should abound. But we've seen Peter saying these characteristics should abound. And with diligence, we ought to make sure it happens. Because God's purpose is for us to be part of a group that never forgets that we are to pursue a godly life and God has given us all we need. You know what's interesting about that statement too is that there's some people say that there are things that we need to learn after Peter's message. Peter says, God's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Don't need new doctrine. Don't need a new gospel. Don't need a new inspired person to give you all of a sudden enlightenment. Don't need a new church to go up with a different name and a different type of worship and a different kind of outreach. That our knowledge of God and what He did through Jesus Christ gives us all we need to pursue a life that will lead us to a calling and election that is sure. Sure. We should never forget the cross. We should never forget God's purpose with the cross. And just like people of old, we are forgetful. The psalmist Chapter 103, verse 2 said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Well, it's God's intent that we see the cross and its saving power, that we stand at the cross and not fail, that we experience not only kingdom living with Jesus as our head and our King and our Savior, but to us begin looking beyond the kingdom here on this earth, and the kingdom that is eternal, and the gathering together of all those with like precious faith, proclaiming glory and honor to God the Father. Jesus paid it all. What are the benefits that your life in Jesus Christ has brought you? What is it that is so high on your list? Does the psalmist help here? Do you need to be reminded of the fact that you've been forgiven of your sins? Just like those individuals that heard Peter's message on that special day when the church began, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins and the gift of the Spirit. To humble ourselves and see the tragedy of the cross and respond in a way in which we see the love of God like never before. And we want that forgiveness. There are all kind of helps with promises in the Bible. We're reminded of a peace that passeth understanding. There's a divine love that we have in the family of God that never fails. There is the reminder of a mansion in heaven, a crown of life. But each and every day, God would want us to focus on our Savior. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, who delivers us from condemnation, from the miserable life that we have that is self-serving and empty. A life without Him that would lead us to be lost, not only in our wandering in this life, but lost forevermore. Never forget our God and His calling for the life that we should live and the deliverance that is available. If you miss heaven, you miss it all. Isn't that what D. Bowman told us? Faithful servant of God who's passed on from this kingdom into the kingdom eternal. Let us never forget, if we miss heaven, we miss it all. Let us not stay in our sins. Let us not forget our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let us with diligence pursue the life that He called us to live. And this morning, if you're in sin, we urge you, we beg you, repent of that sin. And if you need to be baptized in Christ to begin this new life, may we help you. May you heed the call, and may you take that step of faith. We invite you to come now while together we stand and sing with John.